I don't know if you've been following the news on this one particular story or not, but it certainly has grabbed my attention. And it's a story that apparently various municipalities, both in Canada and the United States, have sought to place a ban on the well-loved winter sport of tobogganing. It seems that the kids have found new ways to go faster, take greater risks, and generally just have more fun than we ever got to do, I guess. Except that I know that's not true, because I've chatted with some of you and I've heard some pretty interesting stories about your childhoods and your years as a teen. Don't worry, your secrets are safe. Of course, the concern here with tobogganing is liability, isn't it? What if someone gets injured on city property? The fear being that the injured tobogganer or their parents may decide to sue the city. And I suppose that that is a legitimate concern as we live in an increasingly litigation-happy society. However, if I can be so bold, it seems to me that denying kids the right to travel at speed down a snowy hill is just, well, un-Canadian. Truth is, guarding our kids from getting hurt while tobogganing is probably just the most recent manifestation of the way in which we protect them. We live in the age of the helicopter parent, where mums and dads swoop in when anything goes wrong, whether that's a stumble and trip over the sidewalk or a bad report card. When life gets rough for our children, we move in, and instead of trying to comfort our children, we tend to try to fix the problem. Now, of course, kids today grow up faster than they used to. They are exposed to information and truths about the world at a far faster rate than in the past. The internet, the proliferation of mobile technology, gives our kids access to information far easier and far faster than in the past. So perhaps we have a right to be afraid, to want to move in and protect our kids. It's a paternal instinct, or a parental instinct, I should say, not just paternal, or maternal, parental, which is what I have written there, somewhat embarrassing. Anyhow, truth is, you never know what YouTube is going to recommend as the next video, or what might happen when the kids change the Netflix profile to yours instead of theirs, the kids' profile. What a typo in Google will bring up as a search result. We do our level best to protect our kids, and for good reason. We do not want our kids to hear or learn things that we feel they are not yet mature enough to handle. But friends, what happens if that message that we are afraid of comes directly from God? There is a tendency to use this passage we read from Samuel as a cute way of talking about how God calls us. We take Samuel's response of, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," and we turn it into a lighthearted conversation about discipleship. We say, "So, kids, you see, God can talk to you, so make sure that you're always listening." We might even say that in a sermon, too. In fact, a message like I just described is probably what's going on downstairs in Sunday school, which is okay. That is probably the message the kids should hear about this passage. And of course, now you see what I've just done. We focus on three things on this story. We focus in on the fact that Samuel was a young boy. That Samuel heard God speak to him. And that Samuel responded to God's call. That's it. That is all that we focus in on. We ignore everything else about this story. We don't talk about how, right at the beginning of this story, we are told that word from the Lord was rare in those days. We could probably reword that sentence, and it would be a reflection of our own world today. It seems often that there is no word from the Lord, that visions are not widespread. And perhaps that is because society has drifted far from where God would have us be. Or perhaps we are just more interested in listening to other voices. We don't emphasize that on the final time that the Lord called to Samuel, he didn't just simply call. Our scripture says the Lord came and stood there, calling as before. This time God showed up in person to deliver his message to Samuel. God, the same God who told Moses he could only look upon the back of his person, he showed up to deliver his message to Samuel. We glance over the fact that God was going to do a new thing. Our translation in the Good News doesn't quite render it that way. It says a terrible thing. But other translations say a new thing. Something that would make the ears of anyone who heard them tingle. What was God going to do? This story also represents a shift between a priestly family to a priestly lineage. Samuel himself will become a priest and will eventually anoint Saul as king over Israel, which sets the stage for the story of King David. And we definitely do not talk about the message that God gave Samuel to deliver. It's not a kind message. In fact, it speaks of punishing the house of Eli forever, because Eli was unable or unwilling to discipline and control his sons from blaspheming God. Can you imagine, as a child, hearing such a message? Can you imagine having to share that message to the very priest whose care you are entrusted? We also do not talk about the fear that Samuel must have experienced throughout this entire encounter. Instead, we turn this story into a cute reminder to always be listening to God's voice and to be prepared to answer. Except that sometimes God's voice comes through the voice of a child. We forget that God speaks to children too. That God's message can be terrifying and unsettling. If adults cringe when God calls them to action, then what about our children? What would we think if we heard the word of God from the mouth of a child? Some of you may think that only ministers who study for years upon years can do that. But God can speak through anyone. The truth is that we recoil from messages that we do not want to hear. And I can say with certainty that almost every parent, if not every parent, at one point in their life has had a child tell them a truth that they did not want to hear. My kids have already done it to me. It hurts and it stings. We don't want to be wrong. We don't want to be thought less of. We don't want to be put down, especially by someone younger or less experienced than us. So we ignore kids. It's easy to do. After all, children should be seen, not heard. Except that isn't true. Or at least Scripture would tell us that it isn't true. If children have nothing of value to say to us, then I really should have selected a different passage to preach on. Samuel had something to share. He had received word from the Lord. He was frightened to share that word, as he feared what the repercussions might have been. But Eli insists that he share. And the result is a remarkable thing. The result is an old man and a young boy collaborate to hear God's word. They work together. Scripture this morning teaches us the value of listening for God's call. We should not dismiss the traditional telling of this passage. However, this same passage also teaches us how one generation can inform the next. How the young and the old can work together to hear God's word for the world today. Samuel heard God's voice, but he needed Eli's coaching to understand exactly what was being said, to know how to respond. What duty of care do we have to raise our children properly? What obligation do we have to listen to our children? What do our baptismal vows mean in light of God speaking to us through the mouth of a child? I think when we consider this story, the importance of caring for our kids, teaching them, listening and respecting them is elevated significantly. For certain, the voice of children will not always contain wisdom from God. However, that should not stop us from hearing the legitimate questions and concerns that kids have. The funeral yesterday highlighted that fact for me, as it was a young mother who died with two young children, and they are going to have questions. And yesterday I encouraged them to ask those questions when they were ready. And my prayer is that when they ask, they will be listened to, and they will be given real answers, not just cliches. Kids have good questions. So listen with both ears. Listen for God, who is about to do a new thing. A thing that will make your ears tingle with delight. Be prepared to listen at all times, for we do not know when or where God will speak to us. We do not know how the voice of God will come to us. Be prepared to have the wisdom of a child. A child who said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Amen.